You're listening to DC Broadcasting, podcast produced by the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College.
News headlines on Riot Radio.
I'm Alex Cairns. These are your Riot Radio headlines. The Ford government is considering doing away with license plate stickers, a move that would save drivers $120 a year. Plates would still need to be renewed annually. However, there would be no fee and no sticker associated with the act. Sources say the decision to get rid of the stickers is a strategy ahead of the upcoming provincial election in June, as Ford and his team attempt to gain support from those who own and drive a vehicle. Eliminating these stickers would cost the government $1 billion per year in revenue. The results of a recent Léger poll have been released and show 66% of Canadians disagree with the trucker convoy protests happening in Ottawa, with almost half saying they strongly oppose the continuing disruptions. With that, just over 30% of those who took part in the survey expressed support for the protesters, and nearly 44% say they sympathize with the frustrations and concerns being voiced. The online poll reached more than 1,500 Canadians from across the country between February 4th and February 6th. In sports, Canada's women's hockey team remains undefeated after a 4-2 win over Team USA last night. Captain Marie-Philippe Poulin made history scoring the first ever Olympic women's penalty shot. Goaltender Anne-Renée Desbiens made an impressive 51 stops. The rivals are expected to meet again in the gold medal game on February 16th. The Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3 in overtime last night. However, in the final moments of the game, All-Star forward Austin Matthews had a scary collision with Nino Niederreiter, taking him out of the game and straight to concussion protocol. At this time, there is no update on Matthews. Riot Radio weather. In Oshawa this morning, it is -2, feeling like -5 and overcast. By the afternoon, it'll be 0 and remain cloudy, dropping to -7 in the evening. Tomorrow is set to be a little warmer at 3, feeling like -2, and we'll see some mixed precipitation. It's currently -2. For Riot Radio News, I'm Alex Cairns. You're listening to All Things with Alex. I'm Alex Cairns here on Riot Radio. I hope you're having a fabulous Tuesday. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about winter birthdays because I have one coming up. I'm also going to be sharing my newest technique on how to combat phone scammers, and we'll also hear from a Durham Region police officer on that matter. But first, I've got your DC Focus, where I share the details of a very special project coming out of the Backdoor Mission in downtown Oshawa. You're not going to want to miss it. All of this is coming up next on Riot Radio, here on All Things with Alex.
Campus life, news, people, and stories. What's going on in Durham Region? This is DC Focus.
This week on DC Focus, I want to share the details of a very special and local project you really should hear about. Backdoor Mission is a community resource in downtown Oshawa that provides outreach programs and a drop-in center offering community meals, food pantry items, clothing, referrals, and a safe space to gather. Since 1998, they've been serving residents of the Durham region and helping people in need get back on their feet. Now, in November of last year, the Mission, in association with Story Collector, started releasing videos in a series on YouTube and their website called We Are Listening. Each episode, ranging from 10 to 25 minutes, focuses on one person's story who has or currently is receiving assistance from the Mission, the purpose being to provide a platform for the forgotten voices of our city to be heard. I really think there is so much power in being seen and heard, and this project gives these people the opportunity to do just that. Episodes of We Are Listening are released bi-weekly and, again, can be found on the Backdoor Mission website and on their YouTube page. There's currently 5 episodes out right now, each a very unique story. I think it's just a wonderful way to become more connected to our city. I really can't recommend connecting with this project enough. Welcome back to All Things with Alex on Riot Radio. I'm Alex Cairns. Thank you so much for listening. You know, most days it is not my birthday. Today is not my birthday. Tomorrow is not my birthday. However, on Friday, it will be my birthday. And I couldn't care less. In fact, I wish it wasn't happening because the closer I creep to 30, the more I want to crawl in a hole and sleep forever. Remember as a kid when it would be your parents' birthday or some adult in your life's birthday, and they wouldn't be excited, and it would be like, but it's your birthday. Why aren't you excited? Birthdays as a kid, they were the best. Birthday parties, going to school and bringing cupcakes. You know, you felt like $1 million. You are an absolute rock star. Birthdays as an adult? Well, first of all, you've got a 5 in 7 chance you're going to be working. And if you're not, maybe you do go out and get reminded of how old you are because you can't keep up with the young 20-year-olds. Or maybe that's just a me thing, but I digress. It's just, it loses its magic. But all that aside, my least favorite part of my birthday every single year, always has been, is having it in the wintertime. It's always cold on my birthday, no matter what. I've never known what it's like to wear shorts on my birthday. All you summer birthday people have that flex on me, as weird as it is. Now, you could argue that the winter offers some pretty stellar outdoor activities you can do, like skating, skiing, snowboarding, I don't know, tubing. But does any of that really beat just warmth and sunshine? I don't know. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about phone scammers and even get some advice from a police officer on how we should be handling these pesky calls. That's coming up next on All Things with Alex. Alex Cairns here. You're listening to All Things with Alex. Has anyone else noticed an absolute influx of scammer phone calls lately? I'm not kidding you. On Monday, I received about 6 of them between the hours of 12 and 3. Like, it is absolutely getting out of control. The thing that really riles me up about it, too, is how much creativity they lack. Like, it's truly just the same call over and over again. This is the CRA. They're not even trying to get sneaky with it, which really just tells me it's obviously working and they're getting away with it. Oftentimes, I don't pick up because usually you can tell from the number that it's not legitimate. However, sometimes you can't tell. And sometimes there are days where I kind of feel spicy and I talk with them and see what they want to get out of me, but it always ends the same. I call them out for being a scammer, they call me a name, they hang up. So I wanted to seek some advice from a person of authority on the matter. So I ended up speaking to a police officer here in the Durham region, and here's what he had to say.
It's best not to interact with them. These people are relentless and know how to get through to vulnerable people. Honestly, my best advice would be to always just hang up your call, and if you're really concerned, put in a complaint with the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center.
Now, I know he said it's best not to get involved, but I wanted to let you know my latest tactic and how to deal with them. As soon as they answer, I play. It's good, right? If they want to mess with my day, I can mess with theirs. And Rick Astley never hurt anybody. I don't think. Well, that's all I've got for you today. This has been the show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you've got a birthday coming up, let me just say, happy birthday. I hope it's a good one. Please stay well, stay safe, have a fantastic week. This has been All Things with Alex on Riot Radio. I'm Alex Cairns. If you can, stick around because there are more great shows coming up here on Riot Radio. Take care.
News headlines.
on Riot Radio.
I'm Ronan Weir. These are your Riot Radio news headlines. COVID cases are thankfully decreasing in Ontario as there is a 30% drop. The current number is at 2,887. The Doug Ford government is considering scrapping license plate stickers for Ontario vehicles, sources say. While the plan is not finalized, it could save motorists up to $120 annually. According to the sources, license plate stickers have been removed for passenger vehicles like commercial vehicles, including pickup trucks, motorcycles. The government will issue refunds to Ontarians who have renewed their license plate stickers, sources said. The list of people who qualify for the refund has not been finalized yet. The Ambassador Bridge land border crossing that connects Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit is not accessible, police say, as protesters demonstrating in solidarity with the ongoing anti-mandate protests in Ottawa are blocking traffic. In a notice Monday evening, the Ontario Provincial Police Essex County Detachment said as of approximately 8 p.m., the Ambassador Bridge is not accessible in both directions, going to the United States as well as entering Canada. The force said those looking to travel to the United States should utilize the Blue Water Bridge that is located in Sarnia. In sports, Team Canada inched a little closer to their ultimate goal at the Beijing Olympics with a win over their biggest rival in women's hockey. Despite being outshot 53-27, Canada beat the United States 4-2 to clinch first place in Group A at the women's hockey. Canada currently have 6 medals, which puts them second place behind Russia, who has 7. The Toronto Maple Leafs defeated the top-of-the-table Hurricanes in overtime last night. A pair of goals from Marner and Matthews have extended their hot streaks. Unfortunately, Matthews was banged up during the game and did not return. Pascal Siakam had 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists as the Raptors defeated the Hornets 116-101. This win came as the 6th straight. The win moved the Raptors, that are 29-23, into 6th place in the Eastern Conference ahead of the slumping Brooklyn Nets, who have lost 8 straight. Riot Radio weather. Tonight, we have a 30% chance of flurries, which will see us at minus 1 degrees. Tomorrow, we see 60% chance of flurries or rain showers with a temperature of 2 degrees. And on Thursday, we'll be cloudy at minus 1. It's currently minus 1. For Riot Radio News, I'm Ronan Weir.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
How we all feeling? How we doing? I'm Ronan Weir. This is Big Wave Podcast. Some Pink Floyd for everybody. Fun fact about Pink Floyd, The Wall. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie, but I had to watch it when I was, I think, 5 or 6. And I was petrified because it was the scariest movie I've ever watched. My dad was a massive fan and made me watch it. Anyway, this is Big Wave Talk with Ronan. I am your host. Later, we're going to talk about some Olympics talks and some NHL talk. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to give some thoughts, feelings, and opinions. I know that everybody asked for them. But first, we're going to get into some DC focus. Everybody loves a good DC focus. Without further ado, let's get into it.
Campus life, news, people, and stories. What's going on in Durham region? This is DC Focus.
I'm Ronan Weir, and this is your DC Focus. Today, we are talking about the Oshawa Generals. The Ottawa Generals are on a hot streak as they swept a 3-3 series last weekend, playing Barrie twice, and then the Steelheads, who, by the way, are first in the conference. The Generals already took the banter to Twitter by tweeting a picture of a broom with the opponent's logos. Pretty funny. Everybody loves a good Twitter account nowadays. Star goalie Patrick Lever picked up his second OHL Goaltender of the Week award as he looked very impressive between the pipes in the last month. Locals, good news. You can now go to a Gens game. However, the arena is half capacity, so it's not yet full capacity. Hopefully by playoff time, it will be full capacity because that place does get rocking. The Gens now sit third in their division, but have steadily climbed up the conference table. With around 20 games left, that gives them tons of hope for a playoff spot or even a top-seeded home advantage for the playoffs. On Friday, the Gens will be headed to Ottawa and then finish the weekend at the Peets on Sunday. This was your DC Focus, and go Gens go!
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
I don't know if everybody remembers this song, but when this song came on the TV, I was fired up. Honestly, I do believe the Vancouver 2010 Olympics were the best Olympics going. I'm Rona Weir, this is Big Wave. We are talking about the Olympics, and we're going to be talking about hockey later, but let me get into this Olympics. I don't think, I might be in the minority here, this might be controversial, but this Chinese Olympics, this Beijing Chinese Olympics, has not been the same as the Vancouver Olympics in 2010. Maybe it's because the NHLers didn't go. Maybe it's because I don't believe in China. I don't care for China. Anyway, it's a different topic. But it just hasn't been the same. And, you know, the athletes going in, like, they compete at, like, 3 and 2 in the morning. I never get to watch it. It's just unfortunate that I feel like every Olympics, every, you know, 10 years back in China. I don't get it. They just always host it. But there is a picture circling around of the ski jump in China, and it is planted in the middle of a factory. It literally looks like it's in the middle of a factory. It looks like a video game. It looks ridiculous. I don't know if people have seen it. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. I don't understand it. I don't know where that is. If I was an athlete, I'd be questioning it. I'd say, what are we doing here? You know, like, is someone getting fired for this? This is ridiculous. I know that they compete and they want to be there, obviously, because they work and train so hard, but it just doesn't have the same aesthetic that it did in Vancouver. Vancouver, by far, I believe, was the best. On other news, I brought up that the men's team weren't going to the Olympics. By the way, I have to say this, the women's team, they have been looking really good. And I'm excited for a USA-Canada final because it always is Canada-USA and it is going to be great. Please watch that if you can. But since the men didn't go to the Olympics, they all attended the All-Star game. And I don't know if anybody watched the All-Star game. I know I didn't watch the All-Star game. I didn't have interest in it. It looked brutal. I mean, all the guys looked so hungover. It was hilarious. They're showing close-ups of them coming onto the ice, just like introducing. And oh my God, they all looked so hungover. It was pretty funny. But I mean, they just don't care in the All-Star game anymore. And I don't know if it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they even try it. What is the All-Star game even? The only All-Star game I appreciated was in baseball, where if you won it, you got home advantage in your conference, which made sense actually. But now it's just, you know, guys that get a free trip to Vegas, I guess. I mean, good for them. But let's talk about hockey. Let's talk about it. What is this time of year? what everybody talks about is the trade deadline and what do the Leafs need. In my opinion, they need a defenseman to play with Muzzin. Unfortunately, Hall can't do it. And I'm looking at guys like Ben Chiarot. I'm looking at guys like Klingberg. The problem is it's going to be expensive. You're going to be losing a draft pick. You are going to be losing a prospect, a really good prospect. But at the end of the day, the Leafs are really close. And I know this sucks to say because every year we say this, oh, the Leafs are good, and then they are out the first round. But this year's different because defensively they've been a lot better structured than they have been in previous seasons. And I do believe that they should go out and get John Klingberg or Ben Chiarot. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have today. I love you all. This is Big Wave. I'm Ronan Weir, DC News. Let's listen to that song one more time because it fires me up.
This is Riot Radio News.
I'm Garrett Werner, and these are your Riot Radio News headlines. Protesters occupying Canada's capital city say they will not leave until all vaccine requirements and mandates have been abolished. For more than a week, the center of Canada's capital city has been paralyzed by protesters who have blockaded the downtown area with trucks and cars. City police have described the protest as a siege, and on Sunday, the mayor of Ottawa declared a state of emergency. Police raid on Ottawa protest camp is strongest show of enforcement yet, and its most obvious display of enforcement against the anti-pandemic rule demonstration that arrived in Ottawa 10 days ago. Dozens of heavily armed police officers descended Sunday night on the baseball stadium parking lot that has been serving as a staging area for the protesters in the downtown core. Police removed vehicles and at least one tanker of fuel that was stored at Coventry Road lot. Ottawa police later announced that they had arrested two people at the site, with other arrests elsewhere that day linked to protest activity. In sports, the Toronto Raptors were back in action last night in Charlotte taking on the Hornets in a game one of their three-game road trip. Pascal Siakam and Gary Trent combined for 48 points, leading the Raps to a 116-101 victory. They are back tomorrow taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Leafs were also on ice last night taking on Carolina Hurricanes. It was a very exciting game with it heading to overtime, and Mitch Marner scored the last two goals to extend his scoring streak to 8 games, and it ended up with a 4-3 victory for the Leafs. Now here is your Riot Radio weather forecast. It is not the warmest of days today, but is a step in the right direction. There is a high of 0 and a low of -7 this evening. But tomorrow there is a chance of snow with a high of 4 and a low of, once again, -7. It is currently -1. For Riot Radio News, I'm Garrett Werner. Are you all prepared for your week ahead? This week we'll be going over some of the best things to do to keep you on task and make sure you are really getting stuff done. I'm guilty for not always staying on task, so let's do this together. Let's hear more later when we come back on Good Mornings with Garrett.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham Region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
This week on DC Focus, COVID cases all around Durham have been dropping. Lakeridge Health has confirmed that they have let go of 10 people in the last 2 days from their facilities. There are now only 7 people in intensive care units. The numbers of confirmed cases are also almost down by 1,000 in the last week. And with all that being said, places are now being able to reopen, and the town of Ajax is asking people to show some love to local businesses this month. When residents go to local shops and shout them out on any social media such as Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, they will be entered for a chance to win gift card prizes. All you have to do is make sure you are following the Town of Ajax's social media accounts on those platforms. They will be posting updates every Tuesday and Thursday, which will showcase all the different people at local businesses. The best way to enter these giveaways is to leave comments on their posts. You will be automatically entered into the giveaway. The draws will take place every Monday in February, and winners will be notified via whatever platform they use to enter. So, make sure this month, if you plan on going out to Ajax, Don't go to the big chain places and give the local businesses a try. I promise you will like them. And while you're there, take a quick pic and have a chance to win free prizes for something that you were already doing in the first place.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Good Mornings with Garrett with your host, of course, Garrett. So this week we'll be going over some of the things that, you know, we can do to help fix our week a little bit, get stuff done. So look, like I was saying before, I'm not the best at getting stuff done. I really need to fix things here. So what I think I'm going to do now is I'm going to really start to get a schedule going. I'm going to write things down every night before I go to bed. Just make sure I write down what I did in the day. Simple things such as I went to the gym today and did this. All right? Because look, I'm guilty of not going to the gym every day. I really want to start going every single day. And when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'm not motivated. It takes me a while. So I have to go in the afternoon. I've really been trying to go for runs in the morning. But look, I just need to get my butt out of bed and try to go instantly, which is a bit difficult. So I think one of the things that I might start trying is having a coffee in the morning. I've never been a coffee drinker. I'm not the biggest fan. But look, it's something new to my routine that might help me. I know a lot of people can't live without a coffee, so why not give it a try? I mean, if it's going to give me that extra boost I need for the day, then hey, why not? But some other things we can do in the day is we can just have anything on your phone to set you reminders. I think reminders are such a key thing that I don't even use, but I can understand why they'd be such a big thing in somebody's life as well. Because again, it's just such a tiny little thing. Sometimes you forget, all right? Just a little boost to say, hey, did you go for a run today? And I go, oh, I didn't go for a run. You know what? Let's go. Or else I might feel guilty. And hey, if you have to set a few reminders for the same thing, that's not a problem. Just make sure you get things done. I mean, look, we can all be better, so why not do it together? So that's been all for Good Mornings with Garrett this week, but we'll be heading over to Box when we come back.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Box to Box, where we speak everything Canadian soccer, as I want to make you guys a little bit more interested in it, as it is a huge growing thing in Canada. So today we'll be talking about Toronto FC and their transfer window. We've lost a few key players such as Josie Altidore, Omar Gonzalez, Richie Larea, but I mean, we have brought in a few other really good players. We have brought in a new man by the name of Jesus Jimenez from Spain. He's a tricky little winger, so, I mean, look, we've definitely bolstered our attack. We'll say that. Lorenzo Insigne from Napoli and the Italian national team will be heading over to us in the summertime after his season is over. But, look, I mean, we need to sort out the defense, and we have signed a new Mexican center back who is on the national team, and he is going to be a fantastic addition to the squad. Because, look, our defense, I would say, is the shakiest thing. I mean, the goalkeepers is something that we definitely need to upgrade on, but we did draft one. So things are looking very exciting for this upcoming season. We are pushing to win the CONCACAF Champions League, not just the MLS. We are looking to win it all. We're trying to take the steps, the next steps, to go into the Club World Cup and play against the European teams. So look, Toronto FC are starting to get serious here. I mean, I would like to see them maybe go and sign another midfielder just for a little bit of backup. Michael Bradley's getting up there in age. I know we have some younger players such as Ralph Brizo. He's also fantastic. But, I mean, it just seems like it's lacking a bit. We just need something else in the midfield. There's no issues with the attacking line, I'll give you that. But another issue was we lost Giovinco, and I know a lot of people wanted the Atomic Ant back in Toronto, as he's probably the greatest TFC player of all time. But look, that's all we have for today. I mean, TFC could, you know, they could do a bit better, but, and I could talk about it forever. But that's all we have today for Box to Box, and I've been Garrett Werner with Riot Radio News.
News headlines. News headlines. It's on Riot Radio.
I'm Mitchell Pellerin. This is what's making news this hour. Ontario has reported 2,088 cases of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours, bringing the provincial total number of cases to 1,056,149. Hospitals are currently hosting 2,155 COVID patients with 486 in ICU. As of yesterday, there has also been 11 more virus-related deaths, bringing Ontario's death toll to 11,836. In other news, with schools being fully open to students and teachers for the first time in almost 2 years, Ontario is now facing a shortage of teachers due to the highly contagious Omicron variant. With all the absence, school boards are having issues finding replacements for these teachers, leading for many inconveniences in the classroom. And what was supposed to be a simple traffic stop turned into a drug bust Sunday night in Oshawa. When officers pulled over a car for speeding, they realized that the driver had a suspended license as well as large amounts of cannabis and cocaine in the car. The driver then fled on foot, leading to one officer getting serious but non-life-threatening injuries. In sports, the Olympics are in full swing now live from Beijing. Canada has been bringing in medals, holding the 11th place spot with 1 gold, 1 silver, and 4 bronze. Leading the medal count so far is Sweden with 4 golds, 1 silver, and 1 bronze. Last night, the Leafs hosted their former goalie Freddie Anderson and the Carolina Hurricanes in the first game back since the All-Star break. After a back-and-forth game, the game winner came in overtime as Mitch Marner scored his 16th. The Raptors were also in action last night as they traveled to Charlotte to take on the Hornets. Pascal Siakam led the Raps to the win, putting up 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists. Riot Radio weather today is calling for a high of 1 and a low of minus 6. Mostly cloudy conditions for the skies, staying into tomorrow morning. Tomorrow will reach a bit higher, as there's a high of 3 and a low of minus 6. It's currently 0 degrees. For Riot Radio News, I'm Mitchell Pellerin. Welcome to Campus Call-Ups. I'm your host, Mitchell Pellerin. On today's show, we discuss the women's Olympic hockey team in the first few games of the tournament, as well as a quick PSA message about the dangers of drinking and driving. But first, this week's DC Focus feature. That's all coming up today on Campus Call-Ups on Riot Radio.
Campus life, news, people, and stories. What's going on in Durham region? This is DC Focus.
This week on DC Focus, we discuss the ongoing problem of the absence of teachers in Ontario schools. With schools going back to normal last week, teachers are now having issues showing up to school. And no, I don't mean they don't want to work. I mean they're getting the COVID. Whatever. I don't even know what to call it anymore. They're getting the COVID. All these teachers are getting it. And it's just a big hassle. I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to work for a school board right now. With this going around, you got to worry about, number one, the students staying safe. And then number two, you got to worry about the teachers getting who have the Omicron variant. You got to keep them away from the school, but also get their replacements in. And again, I don't work for the school board or anything, but all I know is that you know how tough it would be just to get these teachers to replace another teacher. Like, some of these teachers are going to be gone for at the most 5 days because you got to quarantine for 5 days with this new variant. So there's 5 days right there that you're going to need a teacher. And finding a teacher for however many teachers are gone throughout the week is just insane. So I would just like to give a huge shout out to all the teachers out there. I'm not trying to get a better grade or anything, but I'm just giving a shout out to everyone who works so hard to give us all education that we need. So that's it for DC Focus. Coming up, we got our Campus Call-Ups Focus Features. Canada's women's hockey team is doing pretty well in the Olympics as of right now. They're sitting in first place and on top of their division with 3 wins, including wins against Finland, Russia, and the U.S. And it's kind of funny with the Russian game. I don't know if anyone's heard about it, but the Team Canada women's team actually wore masks for the first 2 periods of the game until the third, and then they're like, okay, this is insane. We can't be wearing masks out there, which is completely right. I don't understand how people can skate with a mask on while breathing that heavy. But Yeah, they're off to a really hot start. You know, they won their first game 11-2. They beat Russia 6-1, and then they just beat the U.S. actually, which is their number one contenders, 4-2. And you know, U.S. was coming out there looking for a win because last time they faced off against each other, it was in the World Championships where Canada took the gold medal in overtime by a six snipe by Marie-Philippe Poulin. Hope I pronounced that right. But yeah. So Canada seems to be going down the right track. I can't really think of any more teams that might be competitors other than the Sweden teams. But I don't know if Canada can just keep on dominating teams, because it's not like they're just beating them. They're dominating. Like in the first three games, what do they have? 11-6. There's there's 17 right there, plus another four. They got 21 goals in three games so far, and that's insane for the Olympics. Like, you're playing against the world's best, so that just proves right there why I love being a Canadian. We are hockey. We are Canadian. So I'm going to wish them luck, and the men's hockey team is also starting up soon. But that's the end of this segment. Coming up, we got a little PSA about drinking and driving. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. And this segment's going to be a little bit different than the normal segments I do. I normally talk about upbeat stuff a little bit, but there's just a bunch of issues going around right now with drinking and driving, and I know everyone's going through a tough time right now through COVID, but we just got to learn that if you are out drinking legally or illegally, I'm not the police, so I can't really tell you what to do. But if you're out there drinking and you think that you're okay to drive, honestly, it's probably just better if you just don't do it at all. I know there's been a couple of my friends who have lost their license. They've had to pay thousands of dollars or hundreds, thousands, I don't even know, but I just know they're spending lots of money. Their insurance is going way up. It's just not worth it. Everyone that I've talked to about it has said it's not worth it. And not only is it costing money, but it also could cost lives, which is just very selfish in my opinion, just because all you need to do is walk. There's so many options you can do. You can walk, call a taxi, Uber, Lyft, any of these services. Call a friend, call your parents, call your spouse, call your lover, call whatever. Just get a ride home. Make it safe. Make it so the roads are safe for everyone to drive with. And just like that, like, we can have a better, safer community for kids walking. We got people driving, old folks trying to make it places, you know, just people have important stuff to do, and they don't want to be cut off by a drunk driver. They don't want to be hit by a drunk driver, especially not, because it's just not a good feeling. So there's one thing I could just say is just make sure you have a ride home, and make sure if you are drinking, don't drive. That's Campus Call-Ups right here on Riot Radio.
News headlines. It's on Riot Radio.
I'm Carter Lusty. These are your Riot Radio news headlines. Canadian Premier Justin Trudeau is calling for the trucker protest to end with 2 weeks of the protest going on. The Trudeau stated that they need to stop the protests so people in Ottawa can go on with a normal day, and with the protesters not helping with the way to end COVID, with police making lots of arrests and tickets have been given out. The GoVax mobile bus is now accepting walk-ins as it continues all around Ontario to give vaccines to unvaccinated people. With 6 of the GoVax mobile buses being activated right now, 2 more are expected to be up and running by the end of the month. The Ontario government is looking to get rid of the license plate sticker. The plan has not been finalized yet, but it would save Ontario car owners $120 per year. If the sticker gets passed, it will be removed from passenger cars, commercial vehicles, pickup trucks, and motorcycles. In sports, the women's Olympic hockey team took on the United States last night, with Canada taking home a 4-2 win. Canada has finished 4-0 in the Olympic tournament. The Leafs took on the Carolina Hurricanes last night, with the Leafs taking home a 4-3 OT win with a goal from Mitch Marner. The Raptors took on the Hornets last night. The Raptors would end up winning 116-101. The Raptors are now currently on a 6-game winning streak. Riot Radio weather. Today, minus 1, mostly cloudy. Tonight, dropping down to minus 6. Tomorrow, 3 with snow and rain. And at night, dropping down to 0 with snow and rain as well. Thursday, minus 2 with flurries. At night, minus 3. It is currently minus 1 out right now. From Riot Radio News, I'm Carter Lusty. Welcome to Stick on Ice. I'm your host, Carter Lusty. On today's show, we're going to be talking both a little bit about hockey, how after the All-Star game is going on right now, and what players are surprising everyone. And next, coming up with just a bit of a season recap, just seeing how teams are doing and where they're summing up. That's all on today on Sick on Ice on Riot Radio.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham Region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
This week on DC Focus, the city of Oshawa has put out an issue and statement about a scam phone tax scandal. The Oshawa residents and business owners have been told by the city that scammers have been sending texts to them about the city council wanting to give them money. The city released a statement saying that this council will not text you if they had something or something they wanted to give you. And with that text saying that they claim to be in a party. If the text happens to you, the city would like you to call 905-436-3311 and present a number to see if it's a fake or a real person. With another statement from a random council board members showing up to your door, do not open the door, and if they knock on your door, please call the Durham Police. And that is it for DC Focus on Riot Radio.
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to Stick on Ice. I'm your host, Carter Lusty. Now, today we're going to be talking about, you know, some surprises of the NHL season so far. Maybe not seeing players who we'd see be doing this. So, coming in as the first player, we got Chris Kreider with 33 goals. So, we're about halfway through the season as All-Star break has just happened. Chris Kreider has 33 goals. His most in the season was 28 goals, and that was in a near full season for him. I don't know what's going on with Chris Kreider, man, scoring in here like he's OV, prime OV scoring, but it's a big surprise because Kreider hasn't been that guy who gets, like, the, you know, massive points or even goals. Like, 33 goals, that's really good for a player like Chris Kreider. And I think, you know, this season he could end up being a finalist for the Rocket Richard and winning it. So coming in at number two, we have Jonathan Huberdeau, who has 64 points this season, and knowing that he's kind of like one of that, the second best player on Florida, he's showing that he's on a 100-point pace. You know, right now he's on pace for around 122 points. That's amazing for him, and he'd also be the first Florida player to ever have 100 points in their franchise. Coming at number three, we have Kirill Kaprizov, who has 53 points in 40 games. This guy was amazing last year. You know, he's a sophomore coming in from Minnesota, and he's playing out of his mind. He had 55 points last year. With Kirill Kaprizov having 51 points in 55 games last year, he is now over that by 2 points in 15 less games. That's just insane to see from the rookie sophomore. Coming in at number 4, we got Frederik Andersen, who is 24-6-1 with a 2.07 goals against average and a .927 save percentage. Now, while Andersen was still a really good goalie with the Leafs, coming into the season, you know, his stuff with the Leafs, he had a low save percentage and a high goals against average, which for goalies, you want to have low goals against average and a high save percentage. So with him having a ball out year in Carolina, also having a really good season, it's good to see Frederik Andersen, you know, finally become that elite goalie that he could have been in Toronto. And coming in last, we have a bit of another surprise. Nazem Kadri with 60 points this season. He's 1 point behind his career high in 61 points that he played in an 82-game season. Right now, he's played half a season and has almost near points he had in the full season. Kadri really, you know, he's that power forward that you want on the ice, a guy who can make the, you know, open the game up. Now he's playing like with, you know, he's playing like Nathan MacKinnon right now and all those other great guys who think that, you know, he has, you know, Nazem Kadri has a chance to be part of the heart race this year. And with those 60 points, it's just good to see Nazem Kadri, you know, finally break out of that shell and become a really good player.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to Stick on the Ice. Now, today's second part, we're talking about, you know, the surprise teams of the season, you know, who you know, maybe a division race, or teams that are just coming out of, you know, where they thought they were supposed to be rebuilding, and they're playing amazing. So coming in, we have the top three of the Atlantic with Florida, Tampa, and Toronto. They're all fighting it out for that first place, you know, that division winner, and who they face in the playoffs, and seeing, you know, how Florida, you know, did good last year, but not this kind of way that they're playing right now. They're playing like a top-tier team. Tampa, two cups in a row. They're second in division, only 3 points behind Florida. Really good to see Tampa doing good. And the Leafs, Tampa, and 6 points behind Florida. You know, the Leafs are the Leafs. They do have, like, they're one of the best teams in the league with one of the lines. Auston Matthews having a really good season. Actually got injured last night. Leafs fans waiting until they hear what's going on with him. Coming at the Metropolitan, we had the Pittsburgh Penguins. Personally, I thought the Penguins were going to be bad this year. They started off very, very slow this season. And, you know, with Crosby being out, Crosby not having the best season of his career, but he's having a decent season. Tristan Jarry's really showing up for that team as their goalie. You know, they're losing Malkin. Malkin hasn't really been here this season. A lot of injuries have been happening. And just a new team that's built around. Coming in with the Central, I have two. We have Nashville and Minnesota. Nashville, I always knew, kind of had the potential to be good with Jesse Soros now being the starting goaltender. I think it's good to see him helping the team out. Nashville, Matt Duchene having a bounce back here. Everyone's having a bounce back here on Nashville. We know that they're this kind of team. In Minnesota, another surprising one. They don't have the greatest goaltending, you know, with their starter really being Cam Talbot, who hasn't been good since his first year with the Oilers, where he played 71 games. But, you know, he had an all-star season this year, made the all-star game. Kirill Kaprizov coming in. The depth is coming in. Everything is working for Minnesota as they, you know, looking to win a division. But they are around 11 points behind Colorado for the first seed in the Central. And coming in the Pacific, I have the LA Kings and Anaheim Ducks. I knew the LA Kings would be decent, not this pretty good with a 24-16-7 record. I think that's a really good record for LA coming in with Quick and Cal Peterson showing up to the games and winning them. And with their kind of still in a rebuild, as they said. And the Ducks, the rookies are showing up for Anaheim, you know, with a 23-16-9 record, tied with LA currently for second place. It's good to see Anaheim here. John Gibson, one of the top goalies in the league, playing out. Trevor Zegras is doing good. Jamie Drysdale. You know, Ryan Getzlaf having a resurgent year, coming back after having a very down couple of years. Now I think the Ducks are ready for a playoff push, you know, how they're playing, maybe acquire some people at the deadline. And I think the Ducks could legitimately make it past the first round. I don't think they'll win at all, but I definitely think they could be a playoff round winner. And that is it this week. Thanks for listening. See you next week on Stick on Ice on Riot Radio.
News headlines. News headlines on Riot Radio.
I'm Gregory Gerard, and these are your Riot Radio news headlines. The Ambassador Bridge between Windsor and Detroit was blocked last night as truckers continue to protest against COVID-19 vaccine mandates and restrictions. 8,000 trucks a day normally cross at the bridge, the busiest border crossing between the two countries. By the morning, only one U.S.-bound lane had reopened, forcing travelers to take a detour to the Windsor-Detroit Tunnel and commercial vehicles to take a two-hour detour to the Blue Water Bridge in Sarnia. Protesters have said that they plan to stay until the mandates and restrictions are lifted. And in other news, a 14-year-old girl was left alone and stranded at Toronto's Pearson Airport after the return flight was cancelled. The flight, originally scheduled to fly to Newfoundland and Labrador, was postponed due to labor disruptions at the Newfoundland airport. Air Canada, the operator of the flight, told passengers they were on their own to find food in a hotel, as per their rules. As a result, the girl's mother was forced to find her daughter an Airbnb from over 2,000 kilometers away, as hotels wouldn't take the girl due to her age. The girl was eventually able to get home the next day. In sports, Canada defeated the USA 4-2 in women's ice hockey at the Olympics to complete an undefeated round-robin campaign. Canadian captain Marie-Philippe Poulin scored the first penalty shot goal in women's Olympic hockey in the win. Canada will now play Sweden in the quarterfinals. And in other sports news, the Leafs and the Raptors both won, extending their winning streaks to 6 games, the first time the teams have both had 6-game win streaks at the same time. With the trade deadlines approaching for both teams, continuing winning ways will be important both in creating a deadline strategy and in making pushes for the playoffs. Riot Radio weather here today is going to be hovering around 0 to minus 1. Expect clouds with some sun later in the afternoon. Overnight, expect it to be mostly clear with some clouds, a temperature of minus 7. Tomorrow, expect a mix of rain and snow, temperatures at 3 going to 0 overnight. It is currently 0 for Riot Radio News. I'm Gregory Gerard.
Hello and welcome to The Slinky, the show where we discuss random and interesting topics. I'm your host, Gregory Gerard. On today's show, we start with the weekly DC Focus segment where we cover stories from Durham Region and the Durham College campus. This week, we look at the state of recreation complexes in the area. After that, we talk about this week's random topics, the MLB strike situation, how it affects the Blue Jays, and the beginning of the new racing seasons. That's all coming up today on The Slinky on Riot Radio.
Campus life, news, people, and stories. What's going on in Durham Region? This is DC Focus.
This week on DC Focus, we're talking about recreation complexes in the Durham Region. Bowenville has announced plans for a new recreation complex, while Oshawa announced that a new complex was coming to North Oshawa. While these complexes will provide needed services to residents of the region, the cost of these buildings is quite high. Early estimates say the buildings will cost close to $100 million on top of the approximately $15 million spent on renovating and upgrading aging facilities across Clarington alone. When you consider how many complexes and facilities are in Durham, suddenly you're looking at a lot of money spent on maintaining them and or putting in new buildings in. Not to mention, some of the upgraded facilities are getting close to 50 years old, meaning more maintenance required and more upgrades required to keep them running smoothly. As much as I appreciate the facilities, I'm not sure that the right plan is in place. Suddenly you'll be looking at another $15-20 million to repair the old facilities, plus the extra costs of building and repairing the new ones. And while they are needed, I feel like hospitals are in more need of upgrades and expansions, especially with the events of the previous 2 years. Now, I haven't used any of the facilities in Western Durham, but the ones in Clarington that have been renovated I've used, and they're still pretty good, but I don't really know if they're $15 million good, especially depending on if they have to keep spending year after year. Meanwhile, I've been in the local hospital, and I think it needs some renovation. It's still pretty good, but it could use some renovation, maybe putting in a new wing or something like that, and hopefully there's some room in the budget for both, but in my opinion, the decision to spend on recreation instead of healthcare is the wrong one off the back of 2020 and 2021. That's DC Focus right here on Riot Radio. Coming up after the break, we talk about the MLB strike and how it affects the Blue Jays. Don't go away.
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome back to The Slinky here on Riot Radio. I'm your host, Gregor Gerard. Today we're talking about the MLB strike and how it affects the Blue Jays. Things are not looking good for a Major League Baseball season. From what I've heard and what I've been reading, negotiations over a new CBA slash collective bargaining agreement have been slow and pretty heated. Recent reports said the league was looking for a professional mediator to come in and facilitate talks, but that was rejected by the players. All I know is that unless things progress soon, spring training will likely be cancelled, or at the very least postponed, and that means little to no early baseball and lots of late off-season moves. Which isn't as good as it may sound, because I know we all love the late season action. Now, I don't mind spring training being postponed a little, because they don't tend to broadcast a lot of the early games. They might broadcast the first one, but a lot of the, first 5-6 are not broadcast. But having the season be threatened in February and having teams be forced into a lot of quick preseason deals doesn't seem good. Teams need time to be built on chemistry. If you're looking to bring in players like the Blue Jays are, you want them to have spring training and a bunch of off-season time to blend with the players in the clubhouse and get used to the organization. Late moves eliminate a lot of that preparation time, and if you look at other sports, lots of moves and or late starts to a season affect player performances. The best example is the 2018-19 LA Lakers, who brought in a bunch of players alongside LeBron James. Everyone was expecting them to do well, but the team collapsed horribly and didn't even make the playoffs. 1 year later, they won the championship, but they had time to gel. For a Jays team who many think are on the brink of a massive season, any postponements could spell disaster. Coming up after the break, we talk about the beginning of new racing seasons. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome back to The Slinky here on Riot Radio. I'm Gregory Gerard. The time has come for a new racing year. Formula One is starting to ramp up with several car and livery launches only a few days away, and they're debuting new regulations and new cars in those reveals too. Meanwhile, last weekend was NASCAR's first set of races with their own new generation of cars in the Busch class. Personally, I'm excited to see the new F1 cars on track and more of the new NASCARs at Daytona. The Busch Clash was nice for NASCAR, and I personally enjoyed it, but other than a few tests, we haven't really seen any long or mid-track racing, because the Clash was run on a short track. As for the F1 cars, I'm hoping we see a more competitive season. Last year's midfield pack was close, but Mercedes and Red Bull ran so far away from the competition at times that they could make a pit stop or two and not lose any places except to each other. Also, I hope that Haas is more competitive. I don't cheer for them, but there were races where they finished 2 minutes behind each other and close to 5 minutes behind overall. Same thing with NASCAR. While most teams didn't finish too far behind at times, other teams were finishing several laps down almost every race. Some races, there were teams that would finish 30 or 40 laps down without taking any damage. Not only is that dangerous for a lot of the leaders, but they tend to just get in the way. They run laps, hardly ever compete, and tend to affect the race outcome both negatively and positively a lot due to stupid cautions, such as crashing into each other or spinning into a wall, despite how far back they are. With the new cars, hopefully we get tighter races in both sports, but only time will tell. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today's show. Make sure to tune in next week to see what random topics we'll be discussing and to see what's making headlines in news, sports, and the Durham region. For the Slinky on Riot Radio, I'm Gregory Gerard. Thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.
Headlines on Riot Radio. Good afternoon, I'm DeMar Lewis, and these are your Riot Radio news headlines. The Doug Ford government is considering scrapping license plate stickers for Ontario vehicles, sources say. While the plan has not yet been finalized, it could save motorists up to $120 annually. According to sources, license plate stickers would be removed for passenger vehicles, light commercial vehicles, including pickup trucks and motorcycles. Almost two-thirds of Canadians opposed to the Ottawa protest against COVID-19 measures, with more than 4 in 10 saying they strongly consider the demonstration a selfish display, a new poll suggests. Almost 30% of Canadians surveyed by Leaguer disagreed with that the characterization of the demonstration against COVID-19 measures that has seen hundreds of large trucks create gridlock and incessant noise in the national capital. The province with the highest vaccination rate for 5 to 11-year-old kids began providing the COVID-19 vaccine at schools as soon as it was approved for children. While nearly three-quarters of kids in the Atlantic province have had their first shot, Health Canada says the national average is less than half, a shortfall that in-school vaccination programs could help address. In sports, Mitch Marner scored twice, including the overtime winner, to give the Toronto Maple Leafs a 4-3 win against the Carolina Hurricanes and their old goaltender, Frederick Anderson, on Monday for the Maple Leafs' sixth straight win. Pascal Siakam had 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists, and the Toronto Raptors defeated the Charlotte Hornets 116-101 on Monday night for their sixth straight win as well. And the biggest night in sports is happening this Sunday for the Super Bowl 56 as the LA Rams take on the Cincinnati Bengals at the SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles at 6:30 p.m. For Riot Radio weather, this afternoon we have some sun and clouds at -4 with cloudy skies with a low of -3 after sunset. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a 60% chance of snowfall with it being -4. With it remaining cloudy, the temperature will increase to 4 after sunset. It's currently -1 for Riot Radio News. I'm DeMar Lewis.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome to the Keep It on the DL Radio talk show. I'm your host, DeMar Lewis. On today's show, for DC Focus, I'll be giving you some vital information on how you can get hired in your field quicker than usual. I'll also be talking about the Toronto Raptors' six-game win streak and how well they've been playing. And lastly, we'll be talking about the criticism on the hit TV show Euphoria. That's all coming up next on the Keep It on the DL Radio show on Riot Radio.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
This week on DC Focus, we know that we're coming very close to the end of most students' final year of education. With that being said, we know that there are still some students that are worried about getting their career job after they graduate. Well, I got some great information for you guys because the Get Hired Career Development Program is coming to Durham College. This workshop showcases the benefits of using the services of Career Development and the Hired Site. During this webinar, they will complete a virtual walkthrough of the portal so students and alumni have a better understanding of resources on the portal. To stay up to date on webinars, employer visits, and career information from Career Development, follow us on Instagram or follow GetHiredDC, hashtag GetHiredDC. If you require accessibility accommodations for this event, please feel free to connect with them beforehand at careerdevelopment@durhamcollege.ca so that you can discuss arrangements and options with them. This event is on March 16th at 12 o'clock p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. And for more information, please visit hired.durhamcollege.ca/home. Now, guys, I get that times are probably very busy right now and your schedule is probably very tight, but this is definitely something that I'd recommend that you fit into your schedule as we go into reading week and as we all get to our final year of education. This can definitely help us get to that next level to where we want to be in our future and that we can actually get the career that we all want at the end of the day. That's DC Focus right here on Riot Radio.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk, right here on Riot Radio.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Keep It on the DL Radio talk show. And today, I want to talk about the Toronto Raptors. Yes, my favorite team in the whole entire world. This team is playing absolutely out of their mind. I mean, after, you know, watching them have a very, very slow start, they now look like they're on pace to, you know, even be a top four seed in the East with finishing their record at the end of the season. I mean, currently right now, they are 29-23 and they are currently on a 6-game win streak. And I couldn't be more happier because the way it looks right now, I believe that this Raptors team will at least finish fourth when it's all said and done going into the NBA playoffs. And we're avoiding the play-in. And I just want to talk about Pascal Siakam's play. He's been playing out of his mind. I know he didn't get the All-Star nod along with Fred VanVleet, but I think that's due to him, recovering early in the season from his shoulder injury and missing. I believe it was 11 games or 11 or 12 games, and he did have a late jump start to where he's playing right now. Fred VanVleet is now officially an All-Star. I couldn't be more happier for him. He's come a long way in his career from not even being drafted to being an NBA champion and to now making his first All-Star appearance in Cleveland. And he's also going to be doing the three-point contest on the Saturday night, which I think that he actually could potentially win. Scottie Barnes is playing like an absolute rookie of the year. During this 6-game win streak, he's had some very, very clutch moments. Like during the Miami and Atlanta game, he hit two clutch free throws to tie the game to even go into overtime in Miami. And he also hit a clutch bucket against the Atlanta Hawks in that 6-game win streak that they're currently on right now. Nick Nurse's coaching has been phenomenal. He's definitely a schemer type of coach, and he's been doing the best of his abilities, and there's nothing else more I could say about that. And Gary Trent Jr. is playing out of his mind. He's just coming off freshly off a 5-game streak of hitting more than 30 points or more in a game. And it's insane the way this team is actually finally coming together. And I could not be more happier for this team. And you know what? This 6-game streak that they're on right now is looking like it's going to be probably a 9-game win streak, maybe 10. Their schedule is pretty easy going forward. They have a lot of teams that they're playing that are below 500. So I know no game to win is easy, but they should be able to at least go on more, at least a 9-game win streak here. And I couldn't be more happier for my team. That being said, the future is very bright for the Toronto Raptors, and it's going to be great to see where they finish at the end of this season. But that's all I have for the Toronto Raptors right here on the Keep It on the DL Radio Talk Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to the Keep It on the DL Radio Talk Show. And on this second segment of the show, I'm here to talk about the hit TV show that's been the talk of the town for the last month as the second season debuted a month ago. But it was also very popular 2 years ago when the first season debuted. But now in the second season, it's a lot more catching a lot more people's attention. And it's getting a lot more criticism as of late, too, as well. And this is the HBO show Euphoria. Now, the show does demonstrate a lot of adult content. Now, the DARE group is now coming forward and saying that the show is glorifying drug use. And they're trying to say that this is not something, which is obviously something that they don't want for it to be shown to, because there's a lot of high school kids who probably do watch this show and, you know, monkey see, monkey do, right? But Zendaya has come out and spoken to DARE about their comments, and she was quoted, "Our show in no way a moral tale to teach people how to live their life or what they should be doing. If anything, the feeling behind Euphoria or whatever we have has always been trying to do with it. It is to hopefully help people feel a bit less alone in their experience and their pain." So, but that being said, I mean, Zendaya's character on the show is a drug addict who's trying to recover, and she keeps relapsing. And there's a whole bunch of events going on through the show while she's trying to recover from, you know, her drug addiction. Now, in that show, we see that she keeps relapsing and it affects, you know, her relationships with her significant other, and it affects her family, and it affects everyone around her that she's close with. And I think, me personally, it demonstrates that this is why you shouldn't do drugs, or this is why you shouldn't, you know, be involved in certain things like this, because it can affect the people around you. And I think Zendaya does a very great job in demonstrating that on the show. And she's been phenomenal on the show demonstrating that. It takes a lot to you know, play a role like that, and for someone who keeps doing that. That's mentally, I believe that's mentally draining to play a role with someone who can just continues to keep hurting people and keep you know, doing something that makes her happy but hurts other people around her. But Zendaya has been a phenomenal job. The second season has been absolutely great. I can't wait to continue watching this show. And I do hope that it attracts many people in the right way. I really hope it, like, people are getting the message where they're saying that this is not what we want you to do. And we want you guys to do the right thing. And if you don't, this is what can happen around you. And the show has just got renewed for a third season. And I can't wait to see where this show goes and how it evolves through the years. That's all I have for this segment on the Keep It On The DO Radio Talk Show. Thank you for listening. Well, it was great talking to you guys. I appreciate everyone who tuned in. My name is Damar Lewis, and I'd like to thank you all for listening to the Keep It On The DL Radio Talk Show on Riot Radio. Have a great day, guys.
News headlines. It's on Riot Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Matthew Zorbas, and these are your Riot Radio News headlines. The Doug Ford government is considering getting rid of the license plate stickers for Ontario vehicles, sources say. While the plan has not yet been finalized, it could save drivers up to $120 annually. According to sources, license plate stickers would be removed from passenger vehicles, light commercial vehicles, including pickup trucks and motorcycles. According to sources, eliminating license plate stickers would cost the government $1 billion per year in revenue. An announcement is expected to be made in the coming weeks. The government will issue refunds to Ontarians who have already renewed their license plate stickers this year. A core group of protesters in the nation's capital continue to ignore calls for the trucker convoy to go home as Ottawa remains under a state of emergency. At an emergency press conference held by some of the protest organizers, a spokesperson proposed that truckers would be willing to sit down with and form a coalition of opposition parties with the Governor General of Canada in an apparent variation of the Canada Unity MOU that was circulated prior to the convoy's arrival in Ottawa. The group said that they had booked a room at a local hotel in Ottawa to meet with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Tuesday. In sports, the Canadian women's team is continuing to dominate. In Tuesday's game against rivals USA, Brianne Jenner and Marie-Philippe Poulin led the way, scoring 3 out of the team's 4 goals, while goaltender Audrey Debien made a whopping 51 saves in the amazing 4-2 winning effort. Canada also got a gold in men's snowboarding, as Mark Parrott captured a gold medal on Monday night just years after having cancer, while Canadian Mark McMorris won a bronze medal. Canada now has 6 total medals in the early stages of the games. For the weather, it's a pretty mild day today, sitting at 0 degrees right now. Expecting some snow around 1 p.m. and cooler temperatures dipping to minus 6 through the night. Tomorrow is expected a high of 1 degree with an 80% chance of snow and rain. And Thursday is expected a 70% chance of flurries, sitting at 3 degrees. Altogether, a very mild week to what has been a pretty cold winter all around. It's currently 1 degree outside. For Riot Radio News, I'm Matthew Zorbis, and have a great day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Post Game Heroics. I'm your host, Matthew Zorbis, and today we have a different show. In a show normally talking sports, today I'm still sticking to that, but also taking some time to talk about my experiences dealing with COVID-19 virus lately, plus a little rant about the game of hockey. But first, we have some very exciting news for Durham College in this week's DC Focus.
Campus life, news, people, and stories. What's going on in Durham region? This is DC Focus.
Durham College is pleased to announce it has once again been named one of Canada's top 50 research colleges for 2021 by Research Infosource Incorporated. This is the eighth time the college has received this honor, which is informed by data on research income, intensity, partnerships, and projects at colleges across the country. This year, in addition to moving up in the main ranking to 39th, the college was also ranked second for the paid student researchers and industry research income intensity among mid-tier institutions. This recognition is incredible success for our research team at the college, said Debbie McKee Demchek, Dean of ORC. Not only does it recognize the innovation taking place within our research centers, but it also showcases the college's strong commitment to experimental learning and community partnerships. Highlights from 2021 include the launch of a new applied research center, the Social Impact Hub, which joins the already well-established AI Hub, Center for Craft Brewing Innovation, Mixed Reality Capture Studio, and more, allowing the college to further expand its expertise and diversify its research portfolio. ORC also hosted its second Enable AI Summit in 2021 for 230 industry professionals and received funding to support its first ever postdoctoral fellowship. Now, on to my experience with the COVID-19, how I dealt with the virus, and how it dealt with me. 2 Wednesdays ago, I officially tested positive for COVID-19. And honestly, I was kind of expecting to catch it at some point with how this Omicron variant, how contagious it is. But to be honest with you, I was still kind of shell-shocked when I finally tested positive for the virus that has been going on now for 2 years and I've somehow avoided for 2 years. I am vaccinated. The symptoms were pretty mild compared to other cases, but it still was quite a rough sickness. I lost my voice for 3 to 4 days, and I had a nasty cough and a very, very sore throat. But even through all of that, I think the biggest struggle for me was finding the energy to even get out of bed or finding the energy to go be productive or to even eat. That's one of the main symptoms of COVID-19 is tiredness and weakness, and I had both of those. I found it very difficult to even muster up the energy to talk. A, because I didn't have a voice to even talk, but B, because, again, I was just so tired, and I isolated for the 5 days, but then it ran right through my home. My mom got it, my dad ended up testing positive, and then my brother ended up testing positive, and he's still testing positive right now. It's not a fun virus. It's not a fun time. I really, really am thankful for vaccines right now. I know some people do not prefer to get the vaccine, and that is your right. But if you haven't got it, I do highly recommend getting it. Again, it's your choice. It's your right. But it definitely, I think, helped out the effects for me, and especially for my mother, because she does have diabetes and she does have other health risks that COVID-19 attacks and could lead to hospitalization. But luckily, she was okay, and she's back at work now, and we're all, except for my brother, we're all back at work and enjoying. But enough of ranting COVID-19. I have the game of hockey to rant about, and oh, I have a lot to say about that. So let's get right into it. The game of hockey always says it needs to expand. It always needs to get better. We're looking for ways to expand the game. And the hashtag hockey is for everyone. Oh, that really, really grinds my gears. Not because I disagree, because I definitely don't, but they do a very poor job of promoting it. In fact, this week the Toronto Star came out with an article saying that women's hockey doesn't belong in sports because it's just Canada versus USA and no other country is able to compete. Now, tell me how hockey is for everyone. And if you're just practically saying that women's hockey doesn't belong at the biggest stage of sport, why? I mean, even men's hockey, yes, I understand that the Scandinavian countries like Finland and Sweden and even Russia, like Russia obviously is not a Scandinavian country, but Russia are very competitive with Canada and USA. I understand that. But most of the time, even growing up, it was Canada versus USA. Before I was born, it was always either Canada versus USA or Canada versus the USSR or Soviet Russia, whatever you want to say. And we always were just accustomed to that. So why is it different for women's hockey? Why are we saying hockey's for everyone, but then just try and cancel women's hockey? That makes absolutely no sense. That is bogus. And the amount of the amount of racial profiling in hockey too is just it really, really makes me mad when we try and say that we need to expand the game and we do the poorest job of it and always give the sport a black eye. Even when discussing the All-Star game, Trevor Zegras, a 20-year-old phenom playing for the Anaheim Ducks, pulls off one of the most unbelievable moves we've ever seen, blindfolded at the All-Star game, and doesn't win. And then you have guys on, you know, ESPN saying that it's not good for the game showcasing this much skill. Are you kidding me? I understand the whole, you know, when everyone's like, hockey used to be such a physical game back then, and it's gone too soft, and sports are too soft. Listen, when you, as a kid, see someone so skilled, you want to be like that. When growing up, I wanted to be like Crosby. I didn't want to be like Darcy Tucker. No offense to Darcy Tucker. You know, he's a good player. But I'm just saying, skill is what sells. Skill is what appeals to kids and even adults. Let's be honest here. I mean, if you just want a physical game of hockey, then go watch boxing or something. Hockey is for everyone, and we need to do a better job at expanding the game, let me tell you. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have today for the post-game heroics. And when I say that we need to expand the game of hockey, I mean it. Because it's our game. It's Canada's game. When we need to expand it, we need to promote it a lot more. Regarding COVID, like I said earlier on, I hope everyone's able to stay away from it as much as possible. Everyone is able to stay safe. But I'm Matthew Zorbas, and you listen to the post-game heroics. I hope everyone has a fantastic Tuesday.
News headlines. News headlines. It's on Riot Radio.
I'm Hayden Lamront. These are your Riot Radio headlines. On Tuesday, Ontario reported 2,254 people with COVID-19 in hospitals, with 474 in the ICU. This represents an increase of 99 hospitalizations, but a decrease of 12 ICU patients from Monday. The province has recently begun to distinguish between those who were admitted to the hospital for COVID-19 related reasons and those who were admitted for other reasons, but tested positive for the virus. The virus was the reason for 56% of the 2,254 people admitted to the hospital with COVID-19, while 44% were admitted for other reasons, but tested positive for COVID-19. Around 82% of the 474 people with the virus in ICU were admitted for COVID-19, while around 18% were admitted for other reasons. According to a new poll, nearly two-thirds of Canadians oppose the Ottawa protest against COVID-19 measures, with more than 4 out of 10 saying they strongly believe the demonstration is a selfish display. However, nearly 30% of Canadians polled by Leisure disagreed with the assessment of the COVID-19 protest, which has seen hundreds of large trucks cause gridlock and unnecessary noise in the nation's capital. In addition, 44% of those polled said that they sympathized with the protesters' frustrations. Between February 4th and 6th, the Ledger survey of 1,546 adults was conducted. Because web-based polls are not considered random samples, no margin of error can be assigned. In sports, it's day 4 of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, and as of now, Canada sits 11th in the medal count, with 1 gold, 1 silver, and 4 bronze. The Toronto Maple Leafs defeated the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3 at home last night in overtime, with 4 Leafs having multiple point night. The Toronto Raptors extend their win streak to 6 after defeating the Charlotte Hornets 116-101 on the road in Charlotte. Riot Radio weather: today's cloudy with a chance of snow and high of 0. Tonight is a low of -7. And for tomorrow, cloudy with an 80% chance of snow and a high of 3. It's currently 0 for Riot Radio News. I'm Hayden Lamarant. Welcome to Hanging with Hayden. I'm your host, Hayden Lamarant. And this week on the show, I'll talk about the college's winter weather protocols in DC Focus. Also, I'll talk about what went down at the NHL Skills Competition Friday night. And finally, I'll share a few fun facts about the Super Bowl. That's all coming up on Hanging with Hayden.
Campus life, news, people, and stories. What's going on in Durham region? This is DC Focus.
This week on DC Focus, we're in the heat of winter, which means road conditions at times can be pretty brutal. So I thought I'd share with you the college's winter weather protocols. So, if bad winter weather conditions occur, the college will post announcements on all social media pages and send out emails to all students in the early mornings. But if you don't see any kinds of announcement, expect on-campus operations to still be a go. And remember, to give yourself lots of time to come to campus safely. Also, when walking on campus, make sure to be careful, because there might be some icy patches on sidewalks.
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk. Right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to Hanging with Hayden. I'm your host, Hayden Lamarant. This past weekend was the NHL All-Star Weekend in Las Vegas, and we saw some pretty crazy things go down, including the fastest skater event where everybody thought Connor McDavid was going to take the title for the fifth time in his career. But it was actually Toronto native Jordan Kyrou from the St. Louis Blues taking home the title. And then we went on to the Breakaway Challenge, where we saw some weird performances from some players, including Trevor Zegras going blindfold and getting dodgeball thrown at him, like in the movie Dodgeball starring Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller. We saw Jack Hughes put on some magic. We saw Alex Brinkett dressed up as Alan from The Hangover with the baby doll on the chest, and he actually scored his goal with a football thrown by Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. And to end the event, home team star Alex Pietrangelo put on a Vegas show. He had a marching band, lights, he went into the whole thing. It was crazy, let me tell you. I was blown away by the whole event. And then we went outside, where this has never happened before. For the first event outside, it was like target practice, platform practice, in the famous Bellagio fountain. It was pretty cool to watch, where players just shot into like little nets, little targets. It was pretty cool. Then we went over onto, I think it was right on the strip, was like a hockey blackjack kind of thing that went down with players like Austin Matthews, Nazem Kadri, and Brady Kachuk from the Ottawa Senators. Basically, they just had to shoot pucks at big cards and try to make 21. And whoever won, I guess whoever got 21 the fastest or something, won the game. I don't know really how that one worked. It was fun to watch, but kind of a little confusing. And it was actually Joe Pavelski of the Dallas Stars that won. But it was a crazy night. There's also the normal events like accuracy shooting, where actually Sebastian Aho got all four targets in under 11 seconds. Was pretty neat. I guess hardest shot where Victor Hedman, big defenseman from Tampa Bay Lightning, I think his hardest shot was 103.2 miles an hour. If I'm not mistaken, but it was a crazy night. There's so much fun going on. You had Mark Messier and Chris Chelios up in the booth doing some commentating. Was pretty funny, talking about their old days in the All-Star games. It was just a great night. I really liked it. Coming up next, I'm going to share some awesome fun facts about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
I'm Hayden Lamarant, and welcome back to Hanging with Hayden. The Super Bowl 56 is coming up this weekend in LA, with the LA Rams taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, and I thought I'd share some fun facts about the big game. So to kick it off, the Super Bowl is one of the biggest eating days in North America behind Thanksgiving. Now, I do get that one, because I've been to some Super Bowl parties, and there's a lot of food at them. Next is, to go back in history, the Green Bay Packers were the first ever team to win Super Bowl back in 1967. I actually asked my grandpa about this, and he said he watched it on TV, and it wasn't like it was today, that's for sure. And then, halftime performers don't get paid. This one really interested me when I saw it, and I looked it up, and it's true. Now, the NFL does pay for the stage, all the effects and lights and fireworks and all that, but yeah, they don't pay their performers. That's interesting. I wonder what makes the halftime performers want to perform, even though they're not getting paid. Next is, on average, around 120 footballs are used in the game. So each team gets about 60 balls, usually 40 to 50 are used for practice, and the rest are used for the game. Now this is actually pretty cool, because when I played football, we got 2 balls for practice. Yeah, I put 2 balls for practice, and one of them we used for the game. And finally, no Super Bowls have ever been played in a cold city. 11 times in the 55 times there's been a Super Bowl, they have been played in Miami. Other games have been played in, like, LA, other parts of Florida. But yeah, no Super Bowls have been played in a cold city. They've only been played in northern cities, I think, 4 or 5 times. That's insane. But good thing there's teams and stadiums up in the South that can be played there. That's it for this week. I'm your host, Hayden Lamaron, and this was Hanging Out with Hayden. Keep it locked on the Riot Radio to hear more great things. Have a good one.
You're listening to DC Broadcasting, podcast produced by the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College.